Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking to you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap what you have not worked for others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
The other day, a friend sent me a video that showed what at first to be a simple traffic stop in China. It showed a police officer wearing a surgical mask approaching a car as the driver rolled down the window. And without saying a word, the officer reaches inside the car and places a sensor on the man's forehead. He immediately reacts and things go a little crazy because, you see, the driver had a fever. The officer lets out a call, and within minutes, a SWAT team arrived, wearing biohazard suits and hiding behind a large plastic shield. They ripped the car door open, and using a long pole with a net on the end, they placed the net over his head and drug him out of the car. Quickly, they put his arms behind his back and put restraints on him. As they wrestled him away from the scene, a hazmat team began to spray the car inside and out, and then lined up everyone who was nearby to be sanitized and disinfected. It was pretty scary stuff. And together, as we gather here as a people of faith, we're full of questions. We're full of anxiety. We don't really understand what's going on. We question how a simple virus can spread so quickly across the globe, endanger so many, and change our world so quickly. We may be tempted to ask the same question the Israelites did at the end of our first reading. Is the Lord in our midst or not? You see, we tend to question when we're afraid. And if we're honest, we all feel just a little fear deep in the pit of our being. So how do we live and love in the time of a coronavirus? During these days, we're reminded how quickly that we can go from being the center of our own universe, being self-sufficient, accepted, perhaps even respected in our community. And then suddenly the stock market crashes, our company shuts down, we lose our job, or we're laid off. In an instant, we could be almost penniless. Or even worse, we might catch something and get sick. And then we may be treated as a grave danger to others, and like a diseased animal that needs to be separated and pushed aside for the sake of society, causing us to face our own mortality. And fear again enters our hearts, and we may ask again, is the Lord in our midst or not? Events of these most recent days make us more aware of our own human limitations. We are realizing, maybe for the first time, how connected we are in this world, how we are all on God's great cruise ship together, miles away from safe harbor. On one hand, we know how much we need the company, respect, and approval of others. But at the same time, we're realizing in new ways how they might be dangerous to us, how they can be a threat to our feelings and in more extreme situations, our freedom, or even our life. And fear may enter our hearts once more. And we ask, is the Lord in our midst or not? Brothers and sisters, make no doubt, make no mistake, fear is stoked by the devil, by the evil one. The great theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer had this to say. He said, the overcoming of fear, and that is what we are proclaiming here, the Bible, the gospel, Christ, his church, the faith, are all one great battle cry against fear in the lives of human beings. Fear is, somehow or another, the archenemy itself. It crouches in people's hearts. It hollows out their insides until their resistance and strength are spent, and they suddenly break down. Fear secretly gnaws and eats away at all the ties that bind us to a person and to God. And when in a time of need that person reaches for those ties and clings to them, they break and the individual sinks back into himself or herself, helpless and despairing, and all the while hell rejoices. So I stand here today to remind you to listen to that small voice deep inside of you that tells you that you are from God, you are of God, and then you and all humanity are children of God. We belong to Him. Our true home is with Him. This is one of the most basic facts of our Christian faith. And in moments like this, we must rely on our faith, and we must rely on our God. And today, in the time of the coronavirus, we must turn to and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ evermore. The human being doesn't have to be afraid. In fact, we should not be afraid. And this is what makes humans different from all other creatures. In the midst of every situation where there is no way out, where nothing is clear, where it may be even our own fault, we know that there is hope. And that hope is called, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. In our gospel today, Jesus reached out in love to the Samaritan woman at the well. By allowing herself to get close to Him, she caught a kind of virus. A virus that affected her in such a way that her eyes and ears were opened, and her heart and soul were maybe for the first time filled with love. A virus that caused her to forget her problems, her status, her fears, and a virus that impelled her to share her newfound faith with others and bring them to Christ. And the virus that infected that woman at the well is called the Holy Spirit. She was one of the few at that time to catch it, but we all need to catch that Spirit once more. We need to catch that virus, and to use a modern expression, we're called to make sure that it goes viral in our lives and in our world. For when the Holy Spirit goes viral with us, we too will exhibit symptoms like the women at the well. We will share the name of the one Lord who makes the evil inside us recoil, who makes fear and anxiety tremble. We will no longer ask, is the Lord in our midst or not? We will gladly proclaim the name of the one who overcame fear, who nailed it to the cross, who committed it to oblivion. We will name forever the one who is the shout of victory, redeemed from the fear of death, Jesus Christ, the crucified, and yet the living Lord. He alone is Lord over fear. It knows Him as its master. So I encourage you to look on Christ when you're afraid. Think of Christ. Keep Him before your eyes. Call upon Christ. Pray to Him. Believe that He is with you now, helping you always. Then fear will grow pale and fade away. And through your faith in our strong and living Savior, Jesus Christ, you will be set free once more. Yes, we must pray, but we must trust in Him always. For it is His will, we pray, will be done.